Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Nobody is perfect. The Lord Himself is the only perfect one, and He said, listen, I'm not just coming to be your example. I will empower you.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today on the program, we return to the book of James, where Pastor Herron will share with us how to have a perfect score on the test we face in life.
If you have your Bibles, turn to James 1, if you would. I'd just like to point out something I hope is simple. The more I've studied it, the more complicated it got in some ways. But it's the idea of James 1, and we're going to touch on again on the area of tests. I Googled tests, how to take a test successfully, 88 million sites. But I did find one pretty good site, and it was how to pass a test successfully. And it goes through 8 different ways that you can prepare for a test. It says test taking can be nerve-wracking, especially for those who suffer from test anxiety. Whether it's an elementary school exam or a college entry exam, we've got you covered. Luckily, this guide has tips to help you through most exams. And it has all kinds of exams, how to prepare for the ACT test day, how to pass the GED math test, how to pass the CBEST test, how to pass the Miller analogy test, how to pass the GRE chemistry, how to pass the GRE biology, how to pass the college admissions test, how to pass the PCAT test, how to pass the MCATs. You get it. You got it. There you go. He goes through all the different ways that for each one of those are different, including what you can do just taking a test. Pretend that you're the teacher. Relax on the day of the test. Know how the test is scored. Answer questions rapidly. Return to any question you marked after you answer everything on the test and you're confident about it. Review each of your answers to each question in order, and then make the test into a game. It's a big game. I guess that's the key. Make it a game. And he expands on all of these, but quite interesting. But it got me realizing again that when James talks about a test, he really wasn't talking about a written test. Wouldn't that be nice that in your life you could end up knowing, okay, I'm ready for a test, go ahead, be all prepared for it. That doesn't happen. Life's not like that. You see, the reality is it's not a test about your knowledge. It is about a test of your faith. And some people don't do well in tests. There's some people that they do well as far as the material, and they do well in their vocation, but they just don't do well when it comes to sit down, I've got to take this test. They must have test anxiety. That must be the case. I've mentioned before about my oldest brother, Tim, who is mentally challenged. When I was 16, he was 21, and my father said, Marty, you cannot get your license till he gets his license. I was very motivated to have my 21-year-old brother, who had basically like a sixth grade education, be able to pass the LA County driver's test, the written test. He ended up having to take that almost 20 times. I had every LA test out there available. And we would sit down at the kitchen table and I'd walk through with him. I was trying to kind of tutor him, wise 16-year-old to a 21-year-old brother. And eventually, thankfully, he passed the test. He's driving today. But boy, that was a big hurdle. And I was very motivated to help him. It's no fun to fail tests. So if you can have that in mind, it really got me looking at, as our own, helping people over the years, how to have a perfect score. I want to be able to help people have a perfect score to life and the tests. Even as James said it this way, we memorized it and we've worked on it in verse 3, knowing that the trying of your faith, the testing of your faith, worketh patience. Now I'm going to talk about that, but what I thought I would do is very simply list for you 7 ways in which many times we fail this test, or in other words, wrong answers that we give, and then how in the world can we, in essence, change the test or change the question so that we can get it right. When you see people and they're failing the test of their faith, I think they're in essence like flags that come up. If you can think of flag with two L's and two G's, you can end up getting a handle on what I think to be seven ways many times that we fail our test. How can you help somebody that you see God's putting through a test and they're failing that particular test of their faith? And by the way, we all fail. Nobody is perfect. The Lord Himself is the only perfect one. And He said, listen, I'm not just coming to be your example. I will empower you. We don't have to fail, but many times I find more and more Christians that really want to do right, they're just not doing real well when it comes to the testing of their faith. And that is life. How will you know whether someone is going to fail the test or they're failing the test? What are signs of that? I think that there are seven, and really as I got looking at them, I began realizing they really become very destructive stresses on a life. They're destructive emotions that affect us when we are failing. Now, I don't want this to be negative, but I think it's important to realize if any of these show up, I'm probably not doing well in my own test of faith, and then give you a solution for each one of those. What can you turn that wrong answer into God's right answer? What are those? Why don't you take a note out and jot these down? I think it'll be helpful for you. Let me just click through the seven on the flag. Think of FLLAGGE. That's really not spelling flag, but it's close. I hope it'll help. All right, letter F stands for fear. If I'm living in fear, I'm probably failing the test. If I'm lonely, I'm probably failing a test. If I am showing some kind of lust, I probably failed that particular test. Or I got the question wrong. Anger, I probably got the question wrong. Guilt, probably got the question wrong. The test, I failed. If it shows up in the emotion of greed, probably got the question wrong. Or finally, envy. All seven of these, actually, I could preach a whole series, and I might do it one of these days, but I just want to give you a capsulization. I'm going to tell you why I mentioned these. Because in our own counseling over the years, not just for the immediate here, but I find that when people don't realize, these seven really become very destructive because it starts with the mind. They made wrong choices. It affects their emotions, and these emotions that become very destructive for them, and ultimately it affects them in their body. Now, I'm not here to suggest that you have all these in line. You're going to have perfect health, because I don't think that's true. But the reality is they all do affect us in very negative ways. I wish I had time to explain all of it, but I would like to help you understand that the Bible has answers for each one of these. If we fail the trying of our faith, these will show up. Now, you don't have to live with these, but I promise you, if these or any of these show up in your life, you will find yourself limited and not feeling like a success and feeling like, God, I'm failing you because the testing of your faith, there's no temptation, there's no trial taken you or as man, such as is common to man. But God is able, who will with that temptation or with that trial also, He'll make a way of escape. He'll provide a way for you to succeed in this. Have you ever found yourself fearful? Lonely? Ever in a place that you feel like there's lust there or desires for unspiritual things are going to hurt you? Anger that's out of control? Guilt? The area of greed or envy? None of these, God has built us in our body to handle them. They're all signs of a sinful nature. We're responding wrong. How can we solve these? If these aren't changed, the longer you live with any of these, the longer it will put a sense in which I'm failing. We get discouraged. I'm fearful now because I'm not sure where and what to do, and I'm not living by faith. And the tendency is for people to end up getting very lonely. They can be in a crowd and very lonely. And many times those desires that are coming at them, they're now feeding those because they've so discouraged. Many times they're not only angry at other people, they're angry at themselves for not living the way they know they should be living. And often is the case, guilt shows up. We're not built for guilt. It's like sand being thrown in an engine, expecting it to run smoothly. It's not going to run smoothly. And ultimately, out of that, guilt sometimes just shows up in greed because we want what other people have, or envy. Now, saying all of these, if we just left them there, I think it'd be very disappointing and no hope here. Do you have to live that way? Absolutely not. You know, in Christ's commands, particularly in the Sermon on the Mount, I don't want to draw all these from there, but I just put these out as reference points for you to realize that Christ does want us to live successfully. He wants us to pass the test. He wants to get a perfect score, his life through ours. How can you do that? Jot down these seven, but let me give you a statement under each one, how we can turn, first of all, these destructive emotions into something productive. Take, for example, the point of fear. The Bible says to cast out fear with genuine love, but he also says with humble faith. Perfect love casts out fear, but also Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they're going to inherit the earth." These are just the beginning of the Beatitudes, but there's a whole sense, and we preached on these last year, but the reality is there's a sense in which God doesn't want us to live by fear, false evidence appearing real. He wants us to live by faith. He wants us to be in a place that we operate not by my feelings, but by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by... When my faith is weak, it's probably because I'm not giving myself to the memorization and meditation of God's Word. When my faith is strong, it's because I've been feeding on God's Word through preaching, through reading having devotions, taking in God's Word, being around other people that are faithful and knowing God's truth, and it helps me rather than living by fear, I live by faith. Fear has bondage, and it ties us up into our own little worlds in which we're afraid to step out and do anything. God says, listen, you be just as happy you will be by being poor in spirit, by being bankrupt, by realizing, you know what, I have nothing to offer you, God. God, I want to walk by faith. The opposite of fear is faith and genuine faith. Number two is loneliness. Rather than living lonely, we can defeat loneliness with a vision for others' needs. Rather than being inwardly and thinking, you know, I just need this time to myself, and pretty soon, the more time you think you need yourself, pretty soon you'll find yourself all alone. You wonder why you have no friends. You wonder why there's no one there to come alongside of you. And like the lone ember that's off to the side of the fire, it eventually dies out much more quickly than those embers that are together in the campfire. Satan wants you to be alone. The reality is that sheep are meant to come into flocks. And you take a sheep all by itself, and you know what a sheep all alone is? It's a naked prey. And that's exactly what God doesn't want for you. God wants you to be in a place to be able to have a vision for others. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled." He said it in Matthew 22, part of our own mission statement, love the neighbor, even as yourself. Give of yourself. Loneliness is a destructive emotion that'll hurt you. So is fear.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time on Monday for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.